sing Minor Wisdom Quintet.
One, two, a skid-a-dee-da-do.
Minor Wisdom.
We are on the heels of TETA, and thank you to Techland for letting me sit in your booth for the majority of the conference and grab people and record them. I recorded Philip Morgan, I recorded Jim Rambo, Julio Morales, a bunch of other just amazing folks, Haley Tucker, and I had a great time. They also had some snacks in there, so that was nice in between interviews, but thank you to Techland again. Thank you to Eric. I did record him as well. You'll hear him on a later podcast. Lots of content for the next couple of weeks that it's going to come out on this podcast. So lots of TETA content. I also went up to people. I attacked them with a microphone and asked them what they hope to get out of the conference and introduce myself, introduce the podcast. It was a lot of fun to be able to do that. Some people knew who I was. Some people did not. I did not play the Do You Know Who I Am card. I think I might have actually, I think I played that card once just as a joke. But thank you to all those people. You'll be hearing that content over the next couple of weeks. And it was just a whole lot of fun. Next time I'm going to do something like that is at Thespian Convention in November. Junior Thespians is coming up. Junior South, excuse me, is coming up in a couple of weeks. L'Shana Tova to all of my fellow tribe members, all of my Jewish friends. Yom Kippur is coming up as well. Big times, baby, big times. Yom Kippur, repent your sins. It was a fun time at TETA. You know, it's the exhibits. That's where I stayed most of the time, was down on the exhibits floor. Those exhibitors are there hustling and trying to make ends meet, some of them. Some of them are just starting out. Some of them are brand new. There was the girl Hannah Turgi that is fresh out of college practically, and she wanted to start a dramaturg company that helps educators and helps students and puts together different binders. Then you had Dusty Davidson with what he calls his retirement plan, which is a travel agency. But then you go all the way to ETC, these established companies, Verilite. You've got people there that are just throwing swag. Matt Ludlam of Minor Wisdom fame, Mark Batts, again, Eric Campbell, and people that are just having a good time selling products and hoping that they're making connections with teachers, because that's really what it's all about. There's also that whole idea of teachers needing more stuff, needing more content. So there were lots of curriculum people there too. So it was really, really fun. I had a really good time. Thank you to the Hyatt. Next year it'll be in Galveston, which I honestly am looking forward to because it's in practically my backyard. And a lot of people are excited about Galveston just because it's September and they can also go to the beach. So that's kind of nice. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you are liking this podcast on whatever you listen to, giving it 5 stars. Giving it a nice review. Make sure you tell your friends to subscribe, all that good stuff. And make sure you follow me on Twitter. The Twitter is much more active than the Facebook, which is much more active than the Instagram. But make sure you follow on all social media platforms as well. I'll be selling t-shirts real soon again, this time multiple colors, which is nice. That all being said, this week's Groaner Joke of the Week. Why didn't the toilet paper cross the road? Because it was stuck in some cracks.
What's your name?
Corey Garrett.
Corey Garrett. I could read that, but I just want you to
absolutely.
Say it. And is this your first time at TETA?
This is my sixth time.
As a teacher?
As a teacher.
Did you come as a student?
Nope. My high school did not have theater.
Are you from Texas?
I am.
What high school did you go to?
A charter school in South Dallas that no longer exists.
Okay. Like MLK area? Like South Dallas, that's South Dallas?
South Dallas County.
Oh, okay.
Like
Balch
Springs, Mesquite, but like in Dallas County.
Okay. What do you want to get out of this year's TETA that you haven't gotten before?
That I haven't gotten before?
Yeah.
Is a husband an okay answer? Like, if we're just being honest.
I mean, if yes, actually, yeah. But do you want to leave your number? I mean, like,
yeah, I mean, like Instagram handle. There's options. No, but like definitely like meeting with people and just communing with people that understand what we do and go through every day is refreshing.
I like your first answer better. It seemed more
honest. Well.
What about you? How many years have you been here?
Yeah, Katie.
Katie, how many years have you been here?
Five.
Five. What do you want to get this year that you haven't?
I mean, a husband would be... No, actually, I take that back. I don't want to get married, right. But, you know, maybe a boyfriend would be nice. Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. No, that'd be weird. Yeah.
I'm sure Billy Drew is an ordained minister.
Oh, I mean, he's got to be. He does everything, yeah.
And then now that she's answered, blown a bubble, mid-bubble.
Eight years.
And what do you want to get out of...
Fun lesson plans. You're married, I am so married. I do not want a husband. Right. I already have one. That'd be too many. But Corey's looking for Matthew.
Are you are you the wingman?
Not a very good one.
Yeah, not a very good one. Just out there. All right, go to your room.
This week's interview is Rebecca Lowry of Romeo Music. She is the rep up in Dallas. She's the North rep, North Texas rep. She is extremely knowledgeable with the current issues that we're having with wireless mics and the frequency, the bandwidths, the 500, the 600, the soon-to-be, hopefully, maybe 900. And I wanted to put her on this podcast. I interviewed a lot of quote-unquote famous Texas teachers, but Rebecca Lowry had this information that I just needed to get out there because it's just very knowledgeable. It's one of the biggest problems that I'm noticing in all of our schools with theater, with band, with people that need microphones to travel. So I wanted to put this out there. It is a great interview. I highly recommend if you need any more information, reach out to Romeo Music and they will help you. But this week's interview is Miss Rebecca Lowry.
Say who you are, where you're working, and then like a quick bio about you.
Yeah, sure. My name is Rebecca Lowry, and I work for Romeo Music. I've been there since day one. We're about to celebrate 14 years.
Okay.
And we specialize in music technology for educators. That is our specialty. That's what we do. So we work with school districts and band, choir, theater, performing arts centers. We also do quite a bit of stadium work, churches as well. But if it has to do with music and it plugs into the wall, that's our specialty. Okay. That's what we do. Personally, I'm a theater person as well. I do about 8 musicals a year. I direct and music direct here in the DFW Metroplex.
Okay.
And so that's why I'm so theater focused and really have learned a lot about wireless just at any budget, from my community theaters that are just, you know, bare bones, no money,
sure,
all the way up to Equity Regional Houses that have all the money in the world and sound designers and sound techs and wig specialists and mic specialists. And so I feel like I have a really good grasp on every solution,
right,
for all price points. But we are definitely dealing with a lot of issues with wireless microphones right now. And so that's really been my focus. It's my focus here at TETA this week. It's just wireless microphones and what do we do and how do we handle it?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things that I've gotten, questions that I've gotten, is I've got a bunch of old equipment. I've got all these old receivers and packs and stuff. What am I supposed to do with it? Do I just throw it out? Is there something that I can turn it into? Is there somebody I can send it to that can like kind of retrofit it to now work? Is that something that can be done?
So right now, currently, the only manufacturer that still is offering a rebate is Audio Technica.
Okay.
And they do have an active rebate that's actually till I think October of next year.
Okay.
Sennheiser and Shure's rebates have all expired. And every once in a while, we can work something out. But really, the equipment is useless, especially here in the United States.
Right.
Depending on the frequencies, I do know that people have been able to sell some of that, especially if it's in good condition, to other countries.
Sure.
And have been able to do that successfully through eBay and things like that. But for the most part, it's just useless. You know, we first dealt with this years ago with the 700 megahertz changeover, and that was kind of our first experience with, hey, they're telling me my wireless microphones are going to stop working, and they're also going to be illegal. And of course, that's what we all heard, and so we all dealt with, and it was kind of a little bit of a crying wolf, because for the most part, those 700 megahertz frequencies, when they were sold off to safety channels.
Right.
And if you were out in the middle of nowhere, you didn't probably get much interference from right. that. And then you also weren't seeing cease and desist letters for small schools and small churches. No, people didn't care. People weren't doing that. So we kind of made a big, you know, big deal out of it when the 700 megahertz happened. And everyone was like, well, it wasn't that big of a deal. Well, now 600 megahertz has now been sold off. The difference is with this time, it's twofold. One, those frequencies were sold off to the cell phone companies.
Right.
So, and like to the tune of $19 billion.
Yeah.
And this is not a little bit of money. It's a lot of bit of money. And we all want our cell phones to work better and faster, and we're living on them. And it takes a lot of technology to do that. So the people who've bought this air, they do care.
Right.
And the towers are everywhere, and they will interfere. We have a lot of folks who didn't move their 600 that they literally just can't even make a connection. They are having so much interference. And then if they are able to make a connection, they are going to show up on RF scanners. And these companies that have spent $19 billion are probably going to care if there's a church or a school or a theater that's interfering with their cell phone tower that they've put millions of dollars into.
Right.
So it is a little bit bigger of a deal. Now, the other thing that's happened is that, you know, when they aligned the frequencies for 700, we had 600 and 500 to move into. Well, now all of the TV stations that were in the 600 megahertz have been squished into 500. So even if you have legal 500 megahertz systems, you might be having difficulty, especially if you're over like 7 or 8 systems, finding available frequencies.
Right.
And that's what we're dealing with right now. That's the phone calls that I'm getting on a daily basis from theaters, from schools, from band. Our wireless is fine. You know, you told me that I couldn't have 600. Why is my 500 not working? And it's because there's just not enough available frequencies. In Houston area, there's 4 TV channels.
Yep.
Now, in the Dallas area, we have 4.5.
And it seems that you only get the Spanish ones interfering. But anyway.
Right. So you only have those channels to be in. So our room is just very small. And the problem is that for most schools, when they purchase wireless, they purchased wireless that was, you know, $400 a system, $600 a system, which were amazing and all they ever needed.
Yeah.
But those systems, it doesn't matter what, if you're on Shure or Audio Technica or Sennheiser, they only have the capability to operate
so many
frequencies in that same little window that we have, in that same channel that we have. So what we're finding is that if you are trying to operate 16, say, Shure SLX systems, you're not being able to find enough available frequencies to do that. So unfortunately, our answer is more expensive wireless.
Right.
And I know, as well as anyone, that money's not always there. I mean, we are in a world where to guarantee, to be able to 110% guarantee that your wireless is going to work, for most of our schools that are doing big musicals, that are doing big productions, show choir, that they are having to spend somewhere about $1,000 a system. And that's a lot of money. So what I am trying to do is to provide teachers with the ammunition and the knowledge when they go and ask for that money. And it might not be at the school level. It might not even be at the fine arts level. It might have to be at the superintendent level of, hey, this is the reality. This is where we're at. And then hopefully helping them make that smart decision on what they need to be successful and then implementing it, installing and training and making sure that they're going to have a successful wireless system for their show.
Sure. So what do you say to those people? The directors, the choir directors, band directors, all those people that are apprehensive to purchase a system that think that this is only going to be a Band-Aid for a year, because now a year from now, those frequencies are now going to be gone.
Right.
How do you kind of assure that, hey,
yeah,
it's okay.
So, I mean, there's no guarantees with anything, but I will say that with both the 700 megahertz and the 600 megahertz, we've known about this for 4 years. So with 600 megahertz, the first, you know, auctions happened 4 years ago.
Right.
We are finally in the final phases of that. I apologize to anyone who's just now finding out about it.
Yeah.
I tried to talk to as many people as I could. I tried to do as many sessions as I could. If you are just now getting wind of this, you're on the last group. Companies like Shure have lobbyists who are planted in DC who are constantly talking to decision makers about legislation and about all of these things. So if there is a plan for this, if they say now they're going to sell a 500, there are going to be people there who are going to be like, hey, wait, we, you know, we've got to come up with another plan. We've got to come up with an option. And that's why there's so much research and development going into the 900 megahertz and 2.4 where we do our Wi-Fi and everything and figuring out how to lasso that energy and figure out how to have applicable wireless options and solutions at those frequencies. But the way I look at it is that, you know, we have had notice on these. It wasn't a, oh, this is now you bought this and it's tomorrow. And I do give a lot of credit to the manufacturers that they didn't have to. There's nobody saying that they had to offer the rebates that they did. But they did. And for a lot of people, it was an opportunity to get some higher quality equipment that they might not have been able to afford because of the rebates. So yeah, it's one of those things. I will say though that in the world of technology, there's nothing that we purchase that we expect to live for 10 years.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. Right. We all replace our phones everywhere.
I do still have my original my original Nintendo.
There you go,
so,
and
anyway.
It's probably worth a lot of money.
And it works.
I think the biggest thing are the receivers. You know, the receivers are the only part that we don't have to replace on a regular basis because if you have them installed correctly inside a rack, they're going to live forever.
Right.
There's no reason for them to ever be damaged or have an issue or have a cable loose or anything like that. But we do already on a regular basis replace body packs and mics
and all
of those things because they're being handled, you know, it's $500 equipment that's being handled by football players and kids, you know, and even the adults who are still kids, you know. So really what it comes down to is that you probably in 4 to 5 years we're going to be replacing body packs and mics and elements anyway. So it's looking at that receiver investment and going, okay, we've invested in these receivers. Are they going to work for us? There's a lot of, you know, research and development going into making receivers being able to be retuned to other frequencies if that's something that needed to be done in the in the future. There is no assurance, but I can say that even with the 600 megahertz, manufacturers, legitimate manufacturers, they stopped selling 600 megahertz 2.5 years ago. So if you've bought something within the last few years that is illegal or out of ability, you know, you need to go back to the person who sold it to you and go, hey, you sold me stuff I shouldn't have been sold.
So this is my own stupidity, but what is wrong with Bluetooth technology and the application of using that idea towards wireless systems?
So the main issue with Bluetooth is how compressed the information has to be. You know, Bluetooth, even with the advances it's made over the last 5 years, still at the end of the day is for convenience and not for quality.
Okay.
Especially even for music. I mean, I tell folks that, you know, if you are playing music Bluetooth from your phone to a speaker, you are getting about a third of the quality of your music.
Yep.
Because if it's on your phone, it's already been compressed.
Yep.
And then when you send a Bluetooth signal, it's compressed again. And so you're just getting really a fraction of that music quality. You know, CDs don't exist anymore.
Right.
We're not dealing with CDs anymore. But if you listen to a CD of something
and then
listen to a Bluetooth recording of it, you're going to go, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how much I was missing. And so that's there should be a quality of music, especially for performances, right? You know, download WAV files, purchase WAV files of the music and the sound effects and the things that you're going to use to have the highest quality. We encounter that a lot. We do some really big sound systems, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars sound systems, and then we hear them playing Bluetooth, you know, from an MP3, yeah. And they're like, it doesn't sound that great. I was like, well, yeah, because you're playing a really not so good file through really, really nice speakers. It's even more exacerbated. So compression is really the issue with Bluetooth and why, you know, there are Bluetooth microphones on the market, but also, again, you're dealing with, you can't have just multiples. You know, we have some very inexpensive wireless microphone solutions out there. I have to deal with it every day when somebody calls in or tries to order on our website, you know, 10 of X. And I just have to call them and go, are you planning on using these at 10 different campuses? You can't use them all together. Yeah. There's not enough available frequencies. It has nothing to do with the quality of the mic. Has nothing to do with the quality of the sound that's going to come out of it.
Sure.
It's that the lesser expensive the option, the less available frequencies that are going to work together.
What is a solution? So for a school that can't afford right now or is maybe fundraising, saving up, doing a... not a GoFundMe, what's the education one, but you know, that crowdfunding
idea.
What's a solution right now for a school that isn't there yet to purchase a new system? That they, a quick fix, a Band-Aid that just gets them through a couple shows this season?
Right, so there's a couple of options. I actually talked about this in my workshop yesterday. So say you have $5,000,
sure,
and that's what you fundraised for this year, and you need 16 wireless microphones. You know, option one is to go find the cheapest microphones and get 16 really cheap microphones for $5,000. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be very unhappy with your purchase. Probably half of them aren't going to work and the quality is not going to be there. And you will have essentially wasted $5,000.
Sure.
Another option is to rent. And I will say that, you know, there are a lot of reputable companies out there that are renting wireless microphones. And because of the price point that we are at for getting our own, that is not as bad of a deal as it used to be.
Right.
It used to be that you looked at how much you were paying to rent microphones and you looked at it and go, man, if we do this three times, we would be better off purchasing. So renting is still a good option. I would rent from a company that can send you a representative as
to
well
kind of scan
and make sure. And honestly, to be there, not at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday, but at a 7 o'clock performance time to make sure that everything's working for you. And if you have to pay a premium for that, you should do it.
Right.
You really don't, unless you yourself...
Your show's going to suffer.
You yourself really know what you're doing with wireless and scanning for frequencies, you need an expert there to help you with that. But to me, the best use of that money is to look at your future. Okay, I want to have 16 wireless microphones. Figure out what the best solution is for that is, and then only get two or three at a time. And then build up your... systems that way. The other way is to not go wireless. For some smaller spaces, if you're like in a cafetorium situation, hanging mics can do a good enough job for a theater performance. I don't recommend those in the large performing arts centers, especially if they're going to be about in the same line as your speakers, because then you're just going to deal with feedback like crazy, especially if you have somebody who might not be that knowledgeable running the board. But another thing to look at is boundary microphones. And I think we've all heard about boundary microphones and think that the only solution for those is just to line them across the bottom of the stage.
Right.
But I have found much success, actually, in my own performances, in my own small theater performances, putting them in set pieces.
Right.
So say you're doing Guys and Dolls and you're all around the pool table and you've got Gangster 1, 2, 3, and 4, who they only have those couple of lines. There's no reason to throw wireless microphones on them. Put a boundary mic on the pool table and you've got their lines.
Sure.
So I think that's a way to kind of bridge that gap. And then I think the other thing is you've just got to find other ways to get the money. And like I said, it's not going to, you know, these types of purchases, especially at the high school level for performing arts centers, especially if those performing arts centers are being rented out for other uses, then you need to be going to facilities, superintendent, to solicit that money.
Yep.
It's not going to necessarily be at the school or fine arts level. It's just money that's not there. It's not. But when you have the knowledge and you have the information, and then there's so much online where you can print out, for someone who knows nothing about wireless, if you're talking to a superintendent or a facilities manager who just completely has no concept, and being able to show them, hey, this is where we used to be able to operate wireless, this is where we can operate wireless now, this is the price that I need to be at to be able to, you know, ensure that these are going to work. That's going to help you, having that information, because it's indisputable information when you're looking at these graphs and you're looking at these formats.
Yeah. Now, last question, do you guys, and I know you mentioned this much earlier, at Romeo, do you have a sort of template or some sort of letter that you said earlier you're vouching for these theaters, these schools, whatever
right.
it is. Do you have something that that's even available online that's a quick access or something that if they just email you,
yeah,
you can kind of
emailing.
Say, this
you,
is real. Because right. again, not sorry to cut you off, but
yeah.
sometimes convincing those superintendents or even those powers that make those decisions, it's they just want that tangible proof,
right.
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's something that I do every day, honestly.
Okay.
If you're in the DFW area, email Rebecca@RomeoMusic.net. If you're in the Houston area, email Julie@RomeoMusic.net and just say, this is what we have and this is what we want to do.
Yeah.
And arm us with as much information as you can.
Sure.
Every theater teacher who has wireless in their possession should be able to tell us what they have and what
right.
frequency bands they are.
Yep.
So if you
it's
have...
It's not hard to find.
It's
yeah.
not
yeah.
hard to find.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the equipment.
Yeah.
It might take you a little bit to write it all down, but if you can email me and say, I've got 3 SLX that are in the 400, I've got 13 SLX that are in the 500,
yeah.
and I have 6 ULX that are in the 600,
right.
and our goal is to have 24 wireless microphones. That information, then I can scan what you have,
yeah.
and I can say, this is what you can do with what you have, and this is what you need to be able to make it happen,
yeah.
And then be able to provide you with those resources,
sure.
PDFs of those graphs, scans of your area, and that's how we can get that conversation started to get that money. And then, if you choose to purchase from Romeo Music, then we're going to be there for the installation. We're going to do a full RF scan of your area,
yeah.
And that's over and above what we would just find on a website by putting in your zip code. Right?
I lied to you. I have one more question.
Yeah.
Is it worth piecemealing? Meaning, like, is it, you know, this year I've got $2,000 that
mm-hmm.
I can spend on 2 microphones.
Right.
Next year I'll have, you know, is it worth it?
It
or
is.
Should we wait?
It is definitely worth it.
Okay.
But the number one question is, how many wireless microphones do you want to use at the same time?
Right.
And so if that goal is never more than 8, then we're on a different plan than if it's 16 or 24
sure.
or 32.
Okay.
And so you should have in your possession a quote of what it would cost to do everything.
Sure.
And then you need to follow
okay.
that plan.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you can go in and go, okay, we're going to, and then even, it's even great to go ahead and break out that quote to phase 1, phase 2, phase 3,
sure.
phase 4.
That's good info.
Because the other thing that's so good about having a quote is that when money pops up, and it will, say PTA comes to you and says, hey, and you're
yep.
like, hey, yep, here's my quote. I'm
yep.
ready to buy it from these people. So quotes are so important. But yes, I do agree. I would rather see folks piecemeal, do a couple of mics at a time.
Right.
And then especially, you know, if you can install them yourselves,
right.
right, then it's like we just ship them and you do it.
Yeah.
If we've got to come out every single time, then yeah, there's a little bit of a benefit to doing larger chunks,
sure.
right, because it's less, you know, of our time and less service calls out your
right.
way. But we, you know, we're committed to making sure not only are we selling you the right stuff, that we're showing you how to use it, setting you up for success on how to troubleshoot, how to rescan frequencies. I think that's a common misconception that
right.
whatever we set it up with is what it's going to stay forever, and that's just not the case. It's more the case in black boxes and PACs where there's like it's going to stay there.
Right.
Anyone who's doing touring, who's traveling, our band guys who are using it on 6 different
yep.
fields, they have to have a different level of knowledge to know how to combat interferences and
right.
find the right frequencies.
Awesome. That was
yeah.
perfect. Thank you, Rebecca.
Minor Wisdom.